Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. As you're sitting down, grab your Bibles. Turn with me to the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. And I want to look this morning at 11 little words of Jesus. You may remember, we've been talking, Jesus had told his disciples in the beginning of this chapter to let not their heart be troubled, and then proceeded to tell them that he was going to be leaving them. And so obviously, I think maybe the disciples had a little bit of a deer in the headlight look. Like, how is that even possible? How can our hearts not be troubled if you're our friend, you're leaving us, you're our master, you're our leader, you're our rabbi, if you will, and you're going to leave us behind? How in the world is it that we're not going to be troubled? And so he gives them now seven things that they can turn to, seven reasons why they shouldn't be troubled. And he's talked about their ability to pray, the great works that they were going to be able to do as he leaves. And now in verse 18, he's going to make a statement that that has caused some a little bit of confusion. I don't think really it's necessary. I think it's pretty much a straightforward statement that he's going to make when he tells them there, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so as we look at that, I want to approach this passage from this angle. I want to talk to you this morning about dangerous decisions. Jesus says, I mean, obviously this verse has two halves to it. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so there's obviously two sections to that verse. And as we look at it this morning, I want to take this word comfortless and look at that pretty closely. This morning, everyone in this room, everyone listening, watching online, we have a decision to make, and that is either to accept the comfort that Jesus offers or to ignore it, to reject it. Jesus, now notice again this passage, this chapter starts with the phrase, let not your heart be troubled. And so you think about it, then he says, don't let your heart be troubled. But the other angle of that is then we can't allow our heart to be troubled. And so Jesus says you have a decision to make. Do you want to remain comfortless? Do you want to remain without the comfort that Jesus offers? Or do you want to live in the joy and the peace that Jesus provides? And so this morning I just want us to look very quickly, very simply. They're not a huge theological thought this morning, but very simply we're going to look at two things: our predicament without God and our promise from God. Those are our two choices: to live in the predicament without God when we don't have that comfort of God, or to enjoy and to live in the comfort that Jesus offered. Those disciples, just like you and I, they had a decision that they had to make. When Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. He says to them, I'm going to provide you comfort. And, you know, the question is, will you take it? Will you actually enjoy? Will you use the comfort that he provides? And so I want to talk for a moment. Really, the bulk of my message this morning focuses on this word, comfortless, in the first half of verse 18. And I understand why those who did the work in the King James Version, he's already been talking about, I will send you a comforter, why they chose the word comfortless in this verse. However, there is for you and I today a better, I think, way of understanding what Jesus says. In fact, probably almost all of the modern translations will put this verse, will word this verse this way. I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. And so, in fact, the Greek word that is translated here as comfortless is only used one other time in the New Testament, and that's in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, I believe it is, where it is translated as fatherless. And so the word is, again, even the word comfortless, the Greek word that is translated there is orphanios. And so you see where the word orphan comes from in understanding this verse. And so let's talk for a moment about exactly what it means in this verse when Jesus says, I won't leave you comfortless. I won't leave you fatherless. I won't leave you as an orphan. And it's important for us to understand and to keep in mind, we're talking about a different generation, a different culture altogether. We're not talking about being an orphan in 2020. We're talking about being an orphan in the Middle East some 2,000 years ago. There was a totally different environment and a totally different setting for a totally different set of conditions for an orphan in those days. And so when Jesus says, if I leave you, is what he says, if I leave you, you're going to be orphans. One of the other ways that the Hebrews, the Jews of that time, would use this word was when disciples, rabbis, would have a group of disciples who they were mentoring, who would follow them and learn from the rabbi. And if something happened to the rabbi, if the rabbi passed away, those disciples then were called orphans. They didn't have a leader. They didn't have anyone to teach them. And so this word would have been particularly of importance to these disciples in that day. And so as we think about what Jesus is saying, he says, if I leave you alone, you're going to be orphans, right? That's what I'm paraphrasing. I'm looking at both, rewording what he said. I won't leave you as orphans. So if I leave you, you are orphans. And so what was he saying? He's telling them, this is the predicament you would be in without me. You would be orphans. You would be comfortless. You would be fatherless. Now, what exactly would that have meant to that time period to have been considered an orphan in that day? Well, one of the things that in all likelihood for an orphan in that age, in that area, that it would mean that orphan, and understand the word I'm about to use, they would be enduring. And what I mean by that is that they would have to be enduring pretty much everything that came along. They were again fatherless. They were they had no leadership. They had no protection. They were having to just get by on their own. They were having to get by on their own skills and on their own talents. And again, we remember what age we're talking about. There were no social programs like we have today. There were no places for them, no orphanages, no assistance really for them. On occasion, and the Bible is very clear One of the major thrusts of Scripture is the taking care of orphans, and so there was direction from Scripture that typically other families should step in and raise orphans, take those people in. But you and I both know that many times that wasn't the case. Many times they were left to fend for themselves. Many times they were left to provide for themselves. They ate what they could find. They slept wherever they could find a place over their head. Hot or cold, in or out. They were pretty much just enduring. They were just getting by. They were just making it, as sometimes we say, they were just trying to make ends meet. They were just, they were just trying to get through today. If you would ask one of them, if you would ask one of these orphans out in the streets, and you were to say to them, "What are you doing tomorrow?" They say, "I have no clue. I'm just trying to get through today. I'm just trying to make it through today. What are you eating for supper?" "I don't know. I'm just trying to make it to my next meal. I hadn't thought about supper yet. I'm just trying to make it through right now." That was the predicament of an orphan. That was the predicament of an orphan in many cases in this time. That they were simply, they had no leadership. They had no one to turn to. They had no one's shoulder to cry on. They had no one to turn to for advice. They were simply on their own. And Jesus says, that is your predicament if I leave you. If I leave you, you are in that predicament. That is the situation man finds himself. How many of you in here can remember a time? Tommy mentioned a moment ago in his testimony, thinking back about before he was saved. You're in here this morning or watching online, and you know Christ as your Savior. Do you remember a time in your life when you felt like an orphan? When you were out there and you didn't know which way to go, you didn't have anybody to turn to, you didn't have any support, you didn't have any leadership, you were simply wandering in the dark. How many of you remember that day? That's where you were. That's what Jesus says about him. You were just enduring. You were just trying to get through another day. On the other hand, how many of you in here this morning watching online can say, you know what? Now that I know Jesus Christ, I wake up every day looking forward to what he's got going my plate. I look forward to what's going on in my world. I'm not wandering in the darkness. I'm not wandering in the wilderness. I don't go about leaderless, godless. I don't go about in the dark. I know where I'm going to lay my head, and I know if I lay my head down and I don't wake my eyes, open my eyes up in the morning, it's all right. I know where I'll be then too. So that's the difference in knowing Jesus. Jesus says, you don't have to be, saying to those disciples, you don't have to be troubled because I'm not going to leave you as an orphan just enduring life. Tommy talks about it a lot. Tommy quotes it often. What does the Bible say? We're not enduring life. We're living life and life abundant. That's what he says. That's the difference. We are in a predicament without him of being like an orphan with no hope, no dreams, no future, not knowing what tomorrow might hold. But as one who knows Christ, as one who has a relationship with Christ, he says, you don't have to live that way anymore. You don't have to live like an orphan. You don't have to just endure and just get by. Listen, this morning, I'm telling you, if you don't know Christ, you don't have to live like that any longer. He says you don't have to be an orphan. You don't have to live wondering from moment to moment what the future holds. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't have to worry about those things because you know you're in the hands of the one who holds tomorrow. Listen, an orphan, He says, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. So we know an orphan would have just been enduring, just getting by, just from moment to moment, day to day, wondering where their next crumb was going to come from. wondering how they were going to get by. Folks, you don't have to live like that. You don't have to be like that. If you're a Christian, you ought to be rejoicing and praising God that those days are behind me. Those days are behind me. I don't have to live like that anymore. But not only were they enduring, but the other thing we know about orphans of that day is not only were they enduring, but oftentimes they found themselves enslaved. The reason many of them became orphans, you know this, life expectancy then, life was hard. It was rough. I mean, you think about how many times in the Bible we read about widows. The men, they didn't last real long. They didn't, and so they would end up. The children would end up. If you notice in the Bible, you often see what? You see this phrase: widows and orphans. It's a common phrase in Scripture. Well, you know what happened? What happened again was many times the men would die because, again, it was a very, it was a rough society. I mean, it was an agriculture. I mean, it was, there were a lot of things happening. It wasn't, we think we got it bad. We got it easy compared to the way they lived. And so many times the father would end up dead, lack of medical care, all kinds of things. And so the debt of the father would end up being passed to the child. And so many times the child would end up enslaved to the debtor because of the debt of his father. And so when Jesus says, "I won't leave you in that condition," one of the things he's talking about is, "I won't leave you enslaved any longer." Anybody in here know you used to be a slave to sin? You used to be a slave to sin, but the Bible says that whom he has set free is free indeed. Listen, when Jesus says here to those disciples, "Don't let your heart be troubled because you're not enslaved anymore. You're not enslaved anymore. You're not bondage to that sin." There are some here this morning that if they wanted to, they could stand up and tell about their life pre-Jesus and tell about the bondage they were in. Some in bondage to alcohol. Some in bondage to drugs. In bondage to all. They had control of their life. Those sin, they dictated where they went and when they went and how long they stayed and how much they paid. Jesus says you don't have to be enslaved anymore. You don't have to be an orphan in debt anymore. I will set you free. That's what he says. When he say here to those, we have a choice. We are in a predicament without God. We are enduring. We are enslaved. Sin held us captive. Sin holds us in bondage. And it controls us. Jesus says, we don't have to be in that situation anymore. I come that you don't have to be. You don't have to be an orphan anymore. So they were enduring. They were enslaved. But ultimately, they were endangered. You don't have to be 2,000 years old. You don't have to read a history book to know that an orphan in biblical times, in Middle Eastern culture, was in danger. All types of danger. They were in danger, as I said, of being put into slavery. They were in danger of the elements from where they stayed, where they lived. They were in danger of wild animals. They were almost constantly in danger. We know that. You don't have to read a history book. You don't have to study much on. You don't even have to think much about it. We know that even today, in our age, with the environment, with the modern amenities of our society, that a young child, a young orphan, living on the street with no parents,
They're in danger. All types of danger. Sickness, disease, health. A young child like that living on their own, simple scratch, a simple cut, without proper care, without immunizations, without antibiotics, a simple scratch or a cut or an animal bite could be lethal, actually. So what does Jesus say when he says, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, I'm not going to leave you fatherless, I'm not going to leave you as orphans? I'm not going to let you, you're not going to have to just endure and get by. You're not going to be enslaved. You're not going to have to be endangered anymore. If you know, when you know Christ, when he comes into your life, you're like Paul. What does Paul say? Paul says, if I die, it's gain. What he said? If I die, it's gain. Folks, I want you to understand this morning that an orphan in that day and age was in a predicament. Now, I know occasionally, again, their extended family would take them in. But generally speaking, an orphan was in dire straits. I want to tell you something very plainly this morning. Jesus says, without him, you are an orphan. You are fatherless. You are endangered. You are enslaved. And you are enduring. If you don't believe that, you say, I'm doing good just like I am. I tell you what I want you to do. And I'm sticking my neck out here. I'm sticking my neck way out for some of you who profess Christ. If this morning you don't know Christ and you think you're doing just fine like you are, here's what I want you to do. I want you to find somebody in this room when we get done, and I want you to go to them, and I want you to ask them this question. Tell me how much your life has changed since you met Jesus. Tell me how much. Now, if somebody asks you that, do not let me down. I tell you what. Go over here and ask that red or pink, Tommy. Sam. Excuse me. I thought salmon was a patty. I didn't know it was a shirt. Go ask him to tell you about his life before he met Jesus and after he met Jesus. Come down here. Melissa's volunteering. Ask her. Go here and ask Ed. Ask Archie. Go around this room and ask some people. Tell me about your life before Jesus. Old Kenny back there in the back. He don't feel real good, but I bet he'll answer your question. Ask him how much better his life is now that he's not an orphan. Now that he knows his father. I bet you, tell you what you better do. You probably ought to make sure you got a chair because you're probably going to be there a while. Without Jesus, you're in a predicament. You are fatherless. You are an orphan. But then Jesus in the second half of that verse says, and literally it says, I come to you. I will come to you, is what he says. Here is the promise of God. We've got a predicament without God when he says to us that we are orphans. But here's what the promise is from God. I will come to you. I like that. I come to you, again, is literally what it says. I come to you. Now, I love how he, and I know Jesus, I don't think he was Southern, but he didn't say, I come to y'all. He wasn't Northern, he didn't say, I come to you guys. He says, I come to you. The promise of God is personal. It's personal. See, here's what you're going to find if you go back to that experiment where you go around and you ask some people, tell me about your life now that you know God. You're going to find that every one of them has a different story, but every one of them has a great story. The Bible tells us, Jesus says, I will come to you. It is a personal experience. You know, I see these, and it's great. Do not, time out, do not misquote, misunderstand me. I see these things on television where they want you to send money in to help feed a child somewhere. And that's great. We got people here in the church who do that. Please don't think I'm not. But you know and I know that if possible, which would be better? To simply send money to buy food to send to some third world country, or to be able to personally take that little child into your arms, into your home, put your arm around them, love them, care for them, feed them, provide them their needs. Which would be better? That's a no-brainer, right? It's a no-brainer. It's obvious which is better. Do you realize that's exactly what Jesus says to those disciples? I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm not going to trust you to the system. But I will come to you. I will come to you. He is a personal Savior. I love that phrase. You don't hear us. For some reason, we quit using that. We don't use that as often as we used to in the church. How many of you remember a day when we used to say, will you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Remember that? That used to be the phrase we'd use. You don't hear that too much anymore for some reason. I don't know why we did that. But He is a personal Savior. He wants to walk with us. The most amazing to me truth in all of Scripture is that simple statement, that Jesus wants to be a personal Savior. That He wants to talk to you. He wants to hear from you. He wants to walk with you. He wants a relationship with you. That is an amazing thought to me. It is a personal presence. It is a purposeful presence. Why does Jesus say, I'll come to you? Well, what He just said, I don't want you to be an orphan. I don't want you to live like that. I don't want you to be out living in that manner. I want to raise you up. I want to walk with you and talk with you. I have a purpose for your life. Do you know this morning? Everybody in this room, everybody, however many are watching online, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. It may not be the same as He's got for mine, but He has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you in that condition. It is a personal, purposeful, perpetual presence. I love that He says, I will come to you. And I'm going to tell you, in case y'all don't know this, I am extremely conservative in my theology, in case you had missed that. I am extremely conservative in my opinion of the Word of God. I even believe that, I'm going to go so far as to tell you, I believe this is a heaven-ordained, God-inspired punctuation mark. I will come to you, period. I believe that period, that punctuation mark, was Holy Spirit-led, God-inspired, I will come to you, End of conversation. There is no comma. I will come to you for a month or two. I will come to you for a while. I will come and visit with you occasionally. He says, I will come to you. Rhonda will tell you this. She saw it. One of the worst and I have a hard time talking about it without getting a little emotional, a little upset, to be honest with you. I can still, you know, I just told you a while ago, I don't remember what day it was I met with the mayor, but I remember this from 15 years ago. I can still see it. I can see it clearly. When we were in China to get Tenzin, there was a man there, who was there, and he was there by himself. His wife didn't come on the trip. I think maybe she had health problems. Rhonda's nodding her head, is that right? Anyway, he was there to pick up their child. The child that they were going to adopt was 8-9-year-old little boy, probably. I'm not good at age, somewhere in that range. He was a little boy. He had some learning disabilities. He had some issues. And the way the process works, if you don't know or and you don't have a reason to, I guess, is you go, at that time anyway, you go to China, you spend a little bit of time there getting acclimated, getting everything, a couple days, and then you go to what is called the Chinese Center for Adoption Affairs. But you hear that and you think, oh, that must be a really nice building like the courthouse downtown or something. You'd be wrong. We had to walk down an alley in behind a dumpster up a few. It was the Chinese Center for Adoption Affairs, at least in where we were, was not the sterling example of a government office, you may think. They come walking in, they bring you your child, you go back to the hotel. You have a couple days to get acclimated with the child. Then you go on to another city where the embassy is, the U.S. Embassy, where you do the final paperwork to come home. So you have several days after you get your child there in Guangzhou to get acclimated. And this little boy was a handful. I said he had some learning disabilities. He was kind of bouncing off the wall, but the man had him for 2 days. I can't see Rhonda good enough. 2 days. I can still see it. And at the end of 2 days, he decided, I can't handle him, and sent him back to the orphanage. We talked about, well, we'll take him, you know. Don't send him back to the orphanage. Don't send him back. I cannot imagine a child, especially that age, being brought out of the orphanage and took to someone and said, this man's going to love you. This is going to be your new father. This man's going to care for you. This man's going to take you to a new home. Only to have, in 48 hours, that man say, no. And send them back. Yeah, y'all feel about the way I did. I can tell. I just let the air out of the building. Thank God that he said, I come to you, period. I don't have to worry about being sent back. And believe me, I've done plenty of things to be sent back for. God's had every right to say, no, send him back. No, I'm not keeping him. He's embarrassed me in the kingdom. He's got to go. But you know what I've discovered about God? Is in those days when he should send me back, he pulls me in just a little closer. He says, I love you anyway. I won't leave you as an orphan. but I will come to you. Folks, we have a decision to make. Are we going to live in the comfort and the peace and the truth of God's Word? Or are you going to ignore it and continue as an orphan? Whether you're watching online or you're in this room, we have a decision to make. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you that way. I'll come to you. But it's your choice. Will you accept the comfort, the peace, the offer of salvation that He offers? That is the decision that each one of us is forced to make. I want to ask you to bow your heads. For just a moment. Again, whether you're watching online or whether you're in this room, there's only two groups of people. You're either an orphan outside of Jesus Christ, outside of salvation, or you're a child of God. If you're a child of God, if you know Jesus Christ personally, if you know Him as your Lord and Savior this morning, you know the comfort that can only come from a relationship with Him. I want to invite you as we have our invitation. I want to invite you to come and to kneel here where you are and simply say, Lord, I want to thank you for the comfort that you have provided. I want to thank you for taking me in when I was an orphan. Maybe this morning you don't know Christ. You've never asked Him into your heart. You've got a decision to make before you walk out those doors today. I'm not asking you if you're a good person. Do you give to church? Do you work in the church? But do you know Jesus Christ personally this morning? If not, would you come and let me show you from His Word how you can make that decision today? As we stand together, will you do what God leads you to do? Christians, you just want to bow and thank Him. Lord, I thank you for rescuing me when I was just an orphan, when I was an outcast. When I was a sinner, God, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for the comfort that you have provided me, for the peace that you have given me. Kneel where you are, kneel here, whatever God leads you to do. You're at home, in your living room, wherever you are. Take a moment and say, Lord, I just want to thank you for the comfort that you have provided. If you don't know Him this morning, would you come and let me show you through God's Word? Say, what about the corona? I've got more confidence in the power of God than I do in corona. Let me show you from God's Word how you can know Him personally. If you're online, send us an email, make a comment, something. Let us know you're there. Love to talk to you about how you can know Christ. You don't have to go through this world as an orphan. You don't have to go through this world fatherless. You today can become a child of God. A joint heir with Jesus Christ. Totally different. Maybe this morning you say, Lord, I need some comfort. I'm going through a struggle. I'm going through a battle. And I need to experience your presence, your comfort. God, whatever God lays on your heart today.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one the blood, to thee whose blood can cleanse me, Son of Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched blind, thy precious healing of the mind, lay all thy need.
As we go out, and I know by now you should know this, but just let me again remind you to, much as possible, keep your social distance, and if you don't want to, hug their neck. You're grown. Appreciate your attention and your attendance this morning. Let's pray as we dismiss. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for allowing us to be here today. And we pray, Lord, that you'll be with us as we go from here. Lord, keep us mindful. Remind us always that we're no longer orphans, but we're children of the King. We're sons and daughters of the King. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Remind us of that, Lord. Help us to live that way. Help us to serve you that way. And God, for the one that may be listening, watching, or here that doesn't know Christ, God, I pray that you'll touch their heart. God, that you would stir them. God, convict them. That today would be the day of salvation. We'll give you the honor for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.